Well, it's good to be here again, and thank you for coming out on a Monday night. And I know many of you have worked hard today, and just to come on out is an extra measure of sacrifice, so to speak, and I appreciate that. And it's been a good time here. I've enjoyed spending time getting to know many of you and with the missionaries and the Turners and the other men on the staff getting to fellowship with them. So I'm glad to be here. And turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 10. We'll get there in a little bit, but if you'd turn there. And I mentioned my family, and I want to show you a picture of my family. I think we have a picture to throw up there. And that's me in the middle, okay? All right? And next to my beautiful wife. And then my oldest daughter is holding our granddaughter, Emmy, and next to her husband, Mitch. And I was going to crop him out of the picture, and but I figured I'd better leave him in. And then our next oldest on this end is Carly, and she's in Bible college right now and in New Jersey. And then next to her, our next oldest, Lauren, and then next to my wife is Lindy. She's a senior in high school, and then the little man down there, J.R., for junior, and he's my buddy, and praise the Lord for that. So sometimes it helps if you get a picture of the family, and fortunately, my wife is good-looking, so the kids all ended up good-looking, and so that's a wonderful thing. But I was thinking of that just before I came up here, what time it is for them, and I'm sure my wife is probably already asleep, and my son as well. My daughters are probably up. My daughter Lauren has written over 50 songs, and she's got a gift for that, so she's probably up writing a song or annoying her younger sister, and usually that's the other way around. But anyway, a normal family, and it's a delight to be here. When we come to a conference, a challenge, a revival meeting, and a missions conference in particular, and our heart is stirred. Yesterday, we looked at an example, a couple examples, one from the life of Abraham and one that Jesus taught on, the Good Samaritan, and you'll hear a lot of why. And when we saw Brother Tackett and present his ministry, man, I'm thinking, what can I do? I'm like Brother Turner. I am not the son of a handyman, not even close. Now, Mitch is my son-in-law, so he often comes over and helps, and we provide free babysitting when he and Jacqueline want to go out to eat. And so it's a win-win situation. And But I'm not handy, and so I find myself thinking, man, what can I do? And that's good. Now, I could probably wash clothes because my mom, she was doing, some brain manipulation on me when I was young. She was very skilled. Like she said, hey, she goes, because I wanted something washed and she hadn't washed it. She goes, would you like to learn how this all works? I'm like, yeah. So she took me downstairs and she showed me how to use the washing machine. And then she took me back down when the washing machine was done and she showed me how to use the dryer. She said, it's that easy. She goes, you know how many other kids know how to do this? I'm like, how many? She goes, probably none. You might be the only kid in your whole class that knows how to do this. I'm thinking, yeah, that was great. I was excited. Then the next time I need something washed, she said, hey, remember when I showed you how to do that? Honestly, I'm not kidding. That was the last time she washed any clothes in sixth grade. She didn't wash any clothes for me after sixth grade. And so I'm skilled at that. When I went to Bible college and guys had never washed anything and they're throwing their suit in the washing machine and you know, they got coloreds and whites in there, and they're putting it on hot. I'm like, this will be exciting. And so anyway, I learned how to do that. I could help you out there, brother. But it's good. And we hear that. And that tells us, man, we see the need. And we're thinking, all right, well, why should we go? And the first couple points will demonstrate that. But tonight, honestly, and I prayed about this and asked the Lord for wisdom on what to share with you tonight. And this will be a good how. How does the Bible want us to partner? How can we do this? And by the way, I'll say this. There's many good men in the ministry that may have a different way of doing this, but I can show you from the Bible what I believe the Lord wants us to do and how he wants us to go about it. And so if you allow me, I don't think this will be dry at all. And we'll be walking through a passage in the Bible on giving. But first, the need. We see this here. And really what we're answering is this question, how can we help? Okay? We see that. And that's the question I was asking myself. How can I help? How can I be a part of this? The money that's been saved or the different fields that we hear about, how? How can we get involved in this? And by the way, do you know what this is right here that Pastor has given to each one of us? Sorry, I tucked it in here. This right here, this is part of the how. He has made it easy for us to look at this and think, oh, okay. Here's how I can be part of this. But it's not quite that simple, but it certainly has made it simpler. So have that handy, because I'm going to refer to this plenty tonight. But look in Romans chapter 10, I love his heart for people. And he says in verse 1 here of Romans chapter 10, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Boy, that ought to be our prayer. You know, Pastor Turner told me that when I came, I would find many cultures represented and many different ethnicities. That's great. And getting here to see it and to see from different places and a convergent point here and how wonderful it. Praise the Lord for that. But I would hope all of us have a burden for our people. As well as others, we don't have to just have a burden for them, but Paul says, man, my prayer, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, Paul was Jewish, is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Do you want to know the real burden? Do you have your Bible open to Romans 10? Flip back to Romans 9. This is unbelievable. I don't know if I could say this. I hope I could. But Paul says in verse 9, talking about the people, he says in verse 2, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Whoa! I wish I were on my way to hell so that my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh could be saved. I don't know if I could say that. I don't want to go to hell for anybody. But what a burden. So what we see here is we see a soul-winning passion. Paul wants to minister. He wants to minister to the people of his nation. He wants to minister to the people around him. Everywhere Paul went, man, Paul, what a church planner. He'd go places and start churches by accident. I know people, you go a place to start a church and it you struggle. But Paul, man, he'd go somewhere and he's not even planning on starting a church there. But people are getting, by the way, that's what happens when you just keep telling people about Jesus. As we all should. So we see a soul-winning passion here. And I won't take a long time at the beginning because I want to explain a little later. But we have a serious problem. Back to Romans chapter 10. And I want you to notice in verse 14 in Romans chapter 10, and the wonderful news in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. But here's the problem, the serious problem. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Let's back it up then. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? We've got to back it up again. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. All right, so we see the dilemma here, the problem. Paul is saying, well, they've got to believe. Anybody that calls in the name of the Lord, whosoever, shall be saved. Well, how are they going to believe if they don't hear? And how are they going to hear if nobody sends them if they don't preach? And how are they going to preach if nobody sends them? And we've got to get in on this. We want to help with this. So how can we make sure that Brother Tackett's and brother Gage is able to get to the field and reach the people? How can we do this? Well, Paul lays out a pattern in 2 Corinthians. If you flip over to the rest of the message, will be in 2 Corinthians, okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. Paul is telling the Corinthian church. The Corinthian church, man, they were, if you ever feel bad about your church, read Corinthians. They were bad. right? If you want to see a model of a good church, look at Philippians, right? Thessalonians is pretty good too, but the Corinthians, man, they were bad. And some of the things that they did there. But in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, Paul lays out, here's biblical stewardship. Here's what we can do. And he shows them, the Corinthians, a selfless pattern of the churches of Macedonia. Notice in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. And that means I wish you knew. That's what we do you to wit means, okay? And I wish you knew of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Now, before I go further, I want to show you a map here, okay? And you see Corinth over here on the right side, and at the very top, you see Philippi. Now, look at verse 1. What did it say? Leave that up there for a moment. The churches of what in verse 1? Churches of Macedonia. He's talking to the Corinthians down here in Achaia about the churches of Macedonia. Paul went in Acts 16 to Philippi, then in Acts 17 to Thessalonica, Berea, and then he went on down to Athens while his friends remained at Berea, and they met him at Corinth. So he's saying, I want you to know about the church up there at Philippi. If we were to keep going over here, you see Cyprus in the bottom, and we could go on over and we'd find Israel. Okay, so he said, I want you to know about the churches of Macedonia. What about the churches of Macedonia? Ah, they're known for their giving. So what about this? Back to chapter 8, verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. Oh, so we've got this giving church. Okay, so let's imagine who the giving church is. I know who the giving church is, right? The giving church is a church, man, all these people are rich. They've all got money. They've got everything taken care of, so now, praise the Lord, they're generous. And it wouldn't be bad if somebody had money, had wealth, and was giving. But that's not what's described here about the church of Philippi, the churches of Macedonia. They give, and their deep poverty. He doesn't just say their poverty. They're having a hard, their deep poverty. And by the way, I think that it goes right along with it, the abundance of their joy. Their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. So this was a church that didn't have a lot of money. These people didn't have a lot of money, yet they learned to give. How in the world, how do we do that? Well, keep going, verse 3. See, this is the pattern I was talking about. For to their power, I bear record. Notice this, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. They gave beyond their power. How do you do that? Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. They're begging us to take their money. Wow. And take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. If the Lord allows me, I believe on Wednesday night, I'll tell you the blessing on the church at Philippi. We'll look at a passage in Philippians on this. And they gave, they partnered with them, and they looked at it ministering to the saints. Verse 5. This is even better. And this they did not as we hoped. But first, what did they give? First gave their own selves to the Lord. That's not all. And unto us. Whoa. So the Philippians, first of all, gave themselves to the Lord. What did they give? First, they're going to give money. But before they gave money, they gave themselves to the Lord. And then they gave themselves to us. It's one thing. I'm willing to give myself to the Lord, but do I want to give myself to other people? Sometimes. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I don't want to. Why? Because I know other people. And I don't mind giving myself to the Lord. He's never let me down, but people have. But this, what a selfless group of people. Isn't that great? And he says in verse 6, to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that's one of Paul's travel partners, that as he had begun, so would he would also finish in you the same grace also. Question for you. What grace? We want Titus to stay here so that he can establish in us that same grace that the churches of Macedonia had. What grace? The grace of giving. How do they give? Well, beyond their ability. Well, yeah, they had plenty of money. Oh, no, they had poverty. Is that all? No, deep poverty. By the way, they also had great joy. And they gave, and they met our needs. Whoa, what an example, what a pattern. Well, how did they start? Well, first they gave themselves to the Lord. We're not interested. I know Pastor's hard on this. He does not want you to be away from the Lord and yet give to missions. No, he wants you to give yourself to the Lord. Do you know why? Because if you give yourself, first of all, to the Lord, giving to the things that he loves is going to be easy. So that's what, and I leave Titus so that he will help increase this grace in us, okay? And so much that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Verse 7, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us. Those are good things. But Paul said, there's one thing missing. See that ye abound in this grace also. I would say to Anchor Baptist Church, you may abound in many things, but let's make sure that we are abounding in this grace also, the grace of giving. I told you this will be a how message. Okay, so let's look at this. And they said they were going to give, but Paul wanted some substantive proof. In other words, okay, yeah. For instance, look at verse 8. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. You say that you love, right? This is what he's saying to the church at Corinth. You can take this personally because this is to all of us, but I'm saying this because I want you to see what Paul said to the church at Corinth. It's like he said, all right, we saw Brother Tackett present the ministry there, and we think, man, there's a need. Missionary after missionary comes through. We see all the peoples represented. I was thinking about this earlier tonight, thinking each of these flags. Yeah, we're trying to figure out where they're from. And we find the ones that we know. Ooh, I know that one. Ooh, I know that one. Don't miss this, though. Those flags all represent people. Just like you, who wish they knew what you know. And we would say, man, I love them. You know what Paul said to the church at Corinth? Prove it. How are you telling me to prove it? Well, what did Jesus say last night? How did the man prove his love last night? See, in the Good Samaritan, the Levite and the priest may have both said, I love that man. But the Samaritan proved it. And he said, prove the sincerity of your love. Wow, would that work in polite conversation? If you came up to somebody and said, man, I have a burden to see these people reached. Man, I love them. And your friend said, are you backing that up with your money? Who do you think you... That's what Paul is saying, you understand. So, if you wouldn't want your friend to say that, don't get mad, because that was hypothetical. But this isn't. Paul said to the Corinthians, you love them. Yes, prove it with your money. Where does it say prove that? You're going to see. That's what he's talking about here. Prove the sincerity of your love. That's the substantive proof of your love. And now we get down to the scriptural plan. Okay? I like that. All right? Look at verse 9, first of all. For ye know, and here's our wonderful example, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. All right, that's a pretty good example right there. The sincerity of his love. For all right, help me out now. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he what? Isn't that interesting? The substance and proof of his love. Okay, so now the scriptural plan as laid out in these two chapters, okay, what do we do? We'll get to it in a moment. But first of all, I'd like to address a common error. How do we give? How do we give? And this is where, you know, some people may disagree with me on this, but here are things that I have heard over the years that I and some of these I've done, and I look at it and I just don't see it in the Bible. I don't think a person is bad for doing it this way. Right? But here's a couple of errors, okay? I want to give to Faith Promise Missions. So here's what I'm going to do. I am going to ask God to show me an amount that I do not have that I will promise to give. Now again, don't misunderstand, I'm not making fun of that. Many good people have done things that way. God, will you show me an amount? Will you let an amount materialize in my brain so I can see it? And I'm going to look at that, I'm going to write it down on paper. That's not what the plan is here in 2 Corinthians 8. Now, do I believe we should pray? Lord, absolutely. I would never discourage anybody from praying, Lord, what would you have me give? And that's definitely part of it. But I don't think it is, God, show me a number. And then I'm going to write a number down, and somehow I'm going to get this number in. Okay? Now, stay with me. Okay? We'll get to what I believe the right way is. And here's another one. We promise to give that amount that we do not have over the next year. This is the second part of it. I'm going to give that amount, Lord, over the next year. And I've been there where I'm saying, Lord, this is the amount I pledged. And by the way, we can have testimony after testimony of people who the Lord has provided for. And amen to that. This is not a disparaging of that as much as I think it's an error. And I think this passage is going to show us the right plan. Okay? And so let me give you a correct explanation. All right, let's look back here at verse 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do but also to be forward a year ago. Here it is, verse 11. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. Now, first of all, faith promise giving should be based on what we have. Okay, can we give over and above? Just let me pause here for a moment, because it's easy for us to get sidetracked if we're not careful. Here's what typically happens in a church who I believe is giving the right way. Faith promise giving. A commitment will come in. This has happened in our church for as long as I can remember. An amount comes in, and by the way, we base what we are going to do. This is why it's so important for pastor to know, pastor, here's what I want to do. And you should put a number down, for sure. But every year when that money has come in, way more comes in than was actually pledged. I have talked to a pastor in the last month who said, we've been doing it the other way. And this isn't a condemnation. We're doing our best to figure this out. It's all coming from a heart of wanting to help people, right? But he said, every year, I have less come in than was promised. So what should be typical is when the Lord lays, all right, Lord, this is what I want to do. And again, I'll finish this plan in a moment. More money comes in on a yearly basis than was actually pledged. And you're going to see why in a moment. Okay. So faith promise giving should be based on what we have. And by the way, were they able to give more than they were able? That's what it said. So this is, I'm not discouraging that. You're going to see, this is part of it. This is actually how to do it, if you will. Okay? And out of which ye have, verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, are we willing to help those who need? We have a willing mind. Okay, good. So did the Corinthians. So what are we going to do about this? It is accepted according to that a man what? And not according to that he what? Hath not. Okay, so here's the idea. It's both. When we give, you may already have it. But part of this will be what you don't yet have. Well, you're telling me not to pray for an amount, Pastor, to write it down. I'm just dealing with the amount. I am saying, pray, Lord, let me give more than I have. But I'm going to tell you how to do that. Okay? So it's a matter of, all right, yeah, I want to give to this. And it should, in other words, let me put it this way. It should be part of your budget, but not only part of your budget. Every one of us should look at our finances and think, okay, what can I give? But that's not all you should do. So you can look and think, all right, this is what I am going to give this amount because this is the amount that I can handle in my budget. But if that's all we do, then it's very subjective. And then we start thinking, well, maybe I could change my budget around. But I want to be able to give more than that because there are people in need. Right, okay. That's the willing mind. We may already have it. That's a planned amount from your budget. We may not already have it. That's a promised amount. Hold on now. As it comes in. I guess the difference is I'm not saying at the beginning of the year, this is the amount I'm giving. At the beginning of the year, I'm saying, Lord, I need you to provide more than I have. And as it comes in, this is what I'm going to give. It's a promised amount that when I have it, that when it comes in, then I have it. So I'm giving out of that which I have and not which I don't have. From people who gave beyond what they were able, beyond what they had. Okay? And here's a question. How is this different from the misunderstanding of faith promise missions? It is not a promise to give a predetermined amount that we hope to have. Rather, it is a promise to give a predetermined percentage of what you unexpectedly receive. Okay. And I'll unfold this here as we go, okay? I'm trying to give it to you gradually, because when the first time somebody hears this, and at this church, I don't believe this is the first time you've heard it. I've talked to Pastor, and I said, this is what I want to lay out, and I want to be very careful about this, and we're on the same page here. Okay, and so this is the idea, but maybe you've never seen it from this passage, I don't know. Secondly, faith promise giving should be given from God's bountiful blessings on us. Turn over to chapter 9. Has God been good to you? Amen. Now, God's been good to us in so many more ways than just financial, I understand that. So if we say, has God been good to us, we shouldn't have to check our bank account to see if God's been good to us. And God's been good to us. It's a double thing. God is good, but He's also been good to us. So even if you think, man, has God been good to me? Yes, He has. But we ought to praise God because He is good. But we shouldn't neglect praising God because He's been good to us. But we shouldn't judge God on His goodness by whether He's been good to us. He is good. Okay, you got the idea. All right. So look at 9:5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Okay, what Paul is saying here is, you promised to give. So you know what Paul did? Paul sent some people to the church. Can you imagine if the missionaries did that, Brother Ben? And Brother Ben is one of our missionaries. And if he showed up to Lewis Avenue Baptist Church and I said, oh, Brother Ben, man, it's good to see you. What are you doing here? He said, well, your church promised that you were going to give me some money on a monthly basis. I'm just here to make sure that you do. We might think, well, that's a lot of nerve. That's what Paul did. Only it wasn't Paul that showed up. He sent some other brethren. He didn't want them to be embarrassed. Well, yeah, I'll help you out. I'll help you out. For sure, I'll help you out. And these guys showed up. Why? Well, you told Paul you were going to help him out. When Paul comes, he doesn't want you to be embarrassed in front of everybody that you promised and didn't have it. So we're here to help you. And it's kind of contentious here. Not contentious. There's just some tension in the air, right? But did you miss that? Out of God's bountiful blessings as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Faith promise giving is provided by God's bounty on you. So here's a question. All right, how does God provide that bounty? How does God give me more than I have right now? Well, here's what you should pray for. God, can you give me extra work? God, can you show me ways that I can save? Can you show me something that I can sell? Would you bless me can you give me overtime? Can you cut down on some of my expenses? In other words, it's praying that instead of saying, God, show me a magic number. Okay, it's, all right, God, I want to give more than I have right here. But in order for me to do this, can you, I have a friend who's very, very good at this. And I'm not good at this. I couldn't do this. I don't imagine. I'm creative, but I don't know if they have time. But anyway, I'll get to it instead of giving disclaimers. He has decided for missions to flip a house every year. Now, you understand what flipping a house is, right? For those of you who have no idea, that is not turning a house over, okay? That is buying a house and selling that house. By the way, he does almost none of the work. He finds it. He had the capital. He had the money that he bought the house with, and then he gives a percentage to somebody who helps him do the work, do the renovation. Now, if I did that, I might lose my shirt on it, okay? Some won't. It might be, all right, well, listen, here's what I'm going to give you. Here's what I'm going to allow you to do. And ask God. And it's not, God, I'm going to give this no matter what happens. It's, I'm going to, whatever you allow me to get extra. And I know what this guy has done. He doesn't give 100% of that. I'm getting ahead of myself, and I don't want to get ahead of myself. So, okay, so number 3. Faith promise giving should come from a sound mind Bible principle decision between you and God about what you should give. Let me show you. Back in verse chapter 9, look at verse 7. How are we supposed to give? Every man according as what? As he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Okay, so now let me ask those questions, okay? Do we give all of that unexpected money? Well, not all of it's yours, so you can't give all of it. 10% of it is rent for living on God's earth. That's called tithe. Okay? So I made this extra, I sold this house. Okay, but you don't. Not all that's yours. 10% of that's mine because I let you live here on the earth. Okay, so we give that tithe. So then the next question, should we then, do we give all of the other 90% that comes in? Maybe this will give you some relief. That's between you and God. You know why I say that? Because there are good people who want to give. And they have racked up debt in their life. And they're thinking, okay, everything the extra that comes in, I'm going to give to God. When in reality, they're thinking, I've got to find my way out of debt. Okay. Should you give to the Lord? Absolutely. Should you pay off that debt? Absolutely. So you know what I would tell you? Don't give the other 90% to missions. Give some of that. Give half of it. Give 10%. Give 40%. It's between you and God as you purpose in your heart. Between you and God. Covenant to God. God, this is what I'll do. Now, y'all telling you better keep that covenant. But there are some people who think, man, and I've been there. This is why I know there are some people like that, because I've sat there and I thought, God, we don't have any money. For the longest time, I was on a Christian school staff salary. We didn't make a lot, and my wife wasn't working because we were having children. And I was the only one on staff who both of us weren't working, and I'm saying, God, I don't know where the money's coming from. Now, both my parents and my in-laws have been in tougher situations. My dad told me about a year that he lived in Louisiana. And he said, we were starving that year. We lived on peanut butter and crackers for an entire summer, and most of the time, mom and dad, didn't get the peanut butter and crackers. We made sure the kids had it to live on. My wife could tell you about the fact that they would have bean soup for almost every meal because that's all they could. And to this day, she loves beans and a little bit of cornbread. Amen. Right? There you go. Speaking your language, Brother Tech. Okay. And why? Because that's all they had. Now listen, I know having food and raiment, let us be there with content. God takes care of us. And I know that. But I also know if I don't start taking care of this bill or this bill or this bill, I'm not going to be able to give to missions because I'm going to declare bankruptcy. So therefore, I found relief when I'm realizing, wait a second, I can promise to give the Lord and I can give the Lord more than I have by praying that the Lord will bless me. And all of this, if I get any unexpected money, Lord, I'm telling you, this is what I am going to give. And that is why the offerings for missions have been the steadiest giving in our church and have always come in over what was promised. In fact, what I started to do, Brother Ben, you can appreciate this. What was committed, we break that down into per week, and every week in our Wednesday service, we put what was committed, what's come in, and where it is in relation to what was promised. And so we can see within a week or two or three, a month, where we're at in relation to the year. It's always over. Why? Because people are saying, God, please provide this for me, and I'm going to give you this. And listen, if you're thinking, I don't know how I'm going to survive, that's between you and the Lord. And you make a promise between him. I'm not trying to create, this is what I'm going to give, and now all of a sudden we've got a battle of conscience. Okay? And one more question with this. And does it include all unexpected money that comes in? You know what my answer is? That's between you and God. There were times that if I didn't have some unexpected money come in, my kids were going to be wearing the same clothes for about 3 years. Why? Because we were po. We couldn't even afford the O and the R on the end of the word. It was just po. All right? We had no money. So that's between you and the Lord. I would say this. We could probably get by with a lot less than we think. I would preach against Starbucks coffee, but Brother Turner would never have me back if I did that, so I won't. I don't care about that. But I had a preacher come in. Boy, he was getting on that. I was like, man, he didn't realize. I had some ladies in the church getting fired up, mad, man. You can meddle with all kinds of sin, but stay off my Starbucks, right? And the point he was making is, man, do you realize how much that cost and what we could do? And listen, there may be things the Lord shows you you could sacrifice. There may be things the Lord shows you that, hey, you could sell this. I like what Dave Ramsey said. He's not dealing with missions, but he's talking about paying off debt. He said, sell so many things that your kids think they're next. And, right? Number four. Faith promise giving should be considered based on the biblical law of return. Look at verse 6 of chapter 9. Well, I don't know if I want to do that, Pastor. How much? I'll give a little bit. Well, look what the Bible says, verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Here's what I've said to the Lord. Lord, you know I've got some college-age girls, and they're girls. So if some fellas eventually develop some common sense, I'm probably going to have to pay for some weddings. Lord, I don't have that. I need you to provide it. So I need you to provide for me, but I don't want this to be focused on me. So whatever you provide, here is what I'm going to give to missions. Do you understand? I've given God an incentive to bless me, because God knows if I trust him with this money, money's going to the Philippines, money's going to the Middle East, money is going to Vancouver area, money, in other words, the more of that is coming in, and God is also meeting my needs. That's right. Because he that giveth, soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Number five, faith promise giving should involve planning and praying. All right, look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. So, plan for extra work to use for the purpose of missions and ask God to bless those plans and to provide opportunities for you to make extra money and unexpected money. In other words, it involves planning and praying. Planning. All right, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. It's not just, God, please provide this. God says, okay, I'm going to, but here's how I'm going to do it. Plan for how you're going to bring in some extra. And then pray that God will allow you to do it. Lord might give you a different job. Had a man in our church years ago came to my dad when my dad was a pastor, and he was in tears. I've lost my job. And my dad said, well, let's pray about this, because it may be the Lord just did that so he could give you a better job. And that's exactly what happened. And as a result, he's able to give more to missions. But we don't like losing our job to go through that, do we? No, none of us do, right? And we're thinking, why? Because it's hard to live by faith. But when we live by faith, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So when I live by faith, I can please him. And where does faith come from? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what I'm trying to do is give you principles from the Bible, from scriptural principles, and that builds our faith, because faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word of God. Okay. So let me give a clarification here. This praying is not asking God to reveal this amount to you. Okay. Number six. Faith promise giving can meet our needs as well as the missionaries. I kind of explained that already, and that's verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food. In other words, he also will take care of you. Aren't you glad he does? Number seven, faith promise giving is dependent, and this is the most important thing of all. It's dependent on God's provision. Look at verse 8 again. The first word is and. What are the next three? God is able. I am not saying, okay, this is all on us. No. If you go away with that, boy, I feel bad that I did not make it more clear. We are dependent, every single one of us. We want to be part of this. So you know what I'm telling all of us tonight? God is able. Do we think that we want to see Greenland reached more than God does? He sent his only son to die for all of us. We don't want to reach people more than he wants to reach them. So God is able. And Paul is telling the people of Achaia, of Corinth, the churches of Macedonia, man, let me tell you what they've done. They've been able to give out of their deep poverty. They've been able to give beyond their ability. There's only one way you can give beyond your ability. That's God. God is able to meet those needs. Boy, it's a good thing. Why? Because without him, we can do nothing, right? But he provides for us, and I'm glad that he does that. Number eight, faith promise giving is sustained by God's grace. Ooh, that's a good thing. Turn back to chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I'm gonna read and then I'm going to pause, so I don't want to catch you off guard, all right? So read with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Verse 6, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and in utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this also. Says it again in verse 19. Now back to 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Verse 14. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Okay. So you know what God does? He gives us grace to do this. I know this. There have been times I see my needs and money comes in and I said, well, Lord, this is what I promised you that I would do. And then I start thinking, man, that, you know what I could do with that money? Oh, I get that thought out of my head quickly. Why? Well, because of grace. God, I need the grace to do this. And I want to be a cheerful giver. And I don't want to start thinking, man, at the end of the year, you look, man, look what I gave in tithes. You know what I could buy with that? Don't start thinking that way because it wasn't yours. Last, number 9. And this is what I've emphasized. Faith promise giving is a commitment that should be kept. Whatever you do, whatever you decide, whatever you put on here, you better keep it. This is not to be taken lightly. But you're allowed to give more than's on here. I like what Brother Turner said last night. Hey, if you already turned one in, the Lord wants you to give more, get another one. Oh, yeah, man, spoken like a pastor. I understand that. We'll print more of these, believe me, okay? And I'll be glad to do that and to give as much as the Lord tells you to give. But every year the Lord has allowed me to give more than I put on here. And that's good. So, this I hope you understand this. Well, let me show it to you in Scripture. And verse 16 of chapter 8. But thanks be to God which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. You promised, you better fulfill it. We got to be honest in God's sight. So, tonight was a little more of a Bible study. I know that. I hope it's a challenge to the saints as well. But, God, what do you want me to do here? But don't feel bad if God doesn't send a cloud over your head with a number in it. Look, God, this is what I want to do. Now, I'll tell you this. When I put down what I believe the Lord wanted me to do this year, It was based on my budget, but it was also based on, Lord, I'm aware of this or of this or of this, that you're going to allow me to have some extra money. So that affected what I put down. It wasn't just, I'm only going to put my budget number down. But don't think, because what happens is, we go to a, we hear preaching like this, and we think, oh man, the need, I'm going to give this. The need, oh, it's even greater, I'm giving more. The need, I'm going to give $5,000 a week. And then later, what did I do? Okay, now listen, if the Lord can provide that for you, wonderful. But I'm saying, don't put the pressure on yourself to make a number materialize. Make a sound mind. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now, if all we base it on is a sound mind, we're in trouble because my mind fails me. But a sound mind, Bible-principled decision. All right, God. In other words, my mind is only as sound as it is when it operates according to the principles of the Bible. This is what I'm going to give. And I would like you to provide for me to be able to give more than this. And here is how I'm going to do it. Whatever comes in, I'm going to give 40%. Whatever comes in, I'm going to give 70%. Whatever comes in, that's between you and the Lord. Why do you think there's no name on these? He's not going to check up on you. He's going to, but it's between you and the Lord. Why do you think there's a part you can tear off? So that you have a reminder of what you promised the Lord. I preached this in my church on a Sunday morning a year ago. And I believe the Lord used it. But the main person I was preaching to was me. Now, if you've been taught differently, this isn't a quarrel as much as it's telling some people who honestly, sincerely struggled and think, man, I don't know how to come up with this amount. Okay. I hope I've laid out for you the how. We'll get around to the why again tomorrow and the night after. I hope the Lord can use this. And praise the Lord. And I know tomorrow night we have dessert. That's good. But tonight we have a meal. We don't want to take much time after this, right? We want to get down to some business. He's been getting me all juiced up today about the Filipino meal. I'm like, let's go, man. And praise the Lord.